1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 101.9, our brand new signal in the Manchester area. It is Kale & Company, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. You can make an appointment right now by dialing 603-225-7988. And our guest on this portion of Kale & Company is the executive director of the New Hampshire Lottery, Charlie McIntyre. Charlie, how are you today?
I'm well, Ken. Good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing great. And on December 30th of 2019, a monumental day in the state of New Hampshire, the New Hampshire Lottery and DraftKings launched a mobile sports wagering in New Hampshire. We had a feeling, Charlie, that it would be a successful venture. And the numbers really have been pretty staggering.
Yeah, there's no question. I had assumed, and I have a background in this tent, and I thought I knew the market, and I had underestimated it wildly. You know, I had assumed we would do about $400 million in wagering in a given year, and we're probably looking more like $1 billion. And we did $100 million last month in handle, in terms of bets taken through the mobile as well as in person. So, the amount of betting activity even surprises me.
Yeah, it really is something, and I know we're in a kind of a fortunate position right now, given the fact that New Hampshire, I should say Massachusetts, still does not have legalized sports gaming, and I know that that certainly plays a factor into it.
Oh, it's huge, and it's funny because I reached out. I'm an ex-prosecutor in Massachusetts of organized crime.
Yeah.
And I reached out to some friends of mine back there in law enforcement, and they're saying that we've absolutely destroyed the bookmakers' business in Massachusetts. because for a couple of reasons. One is we offer a better product, obviously, because you can bet so many more events than you could with a bookmaker, so many more games and times. And but also, we have the same exact odds. We didn't sort of make ours sort of state-friendly in terms of being, because we're a monopoly, we do the exact same line, so everyone's driving up here to bet. And, you know, as I often say, no better money than out-of-state money, you know? And so, yeah, like if you, we have a heat plume where we can see the activity, where it's happening, and the Mall of New Hampshire and the Portsmouth Traffic Circle are really busy.
Oh, I know what you're saying. People coming over the border, and, you know, I know there are three retailers right now where you can place your bets on, yeah, on DraftKings in Seabrook and in Manchester and in Dover. Will there be more to come?
There are. Certainly we're in the phase of planning out the next one for Nashville, hopefully. We'll be number four. And then once that's built out, we'll sort of see what the landscape looks like. We don't want to oversaturate the market, sort of cannibalize each other. But I think geographically that makes the most sense. We may try and get one up north in the near future. They're very expensive to run. It's essentially like running a bank in terms of securities, mm-hmm, and the internal controls and the surveillance equipment. It's because there's a lot of money going through those places. So we want to do it slowly. We'll be doing this forever, so we have time, you know, to build it out.
We are just in the infancy, really, of sports gaming in New Hampshire, yeah, and in New England in general, as you know, Rhode Island and Connecticut have it now, and that's the only three, right? Just New Hampshire, yep, Rhode Island, and Connecticut in New England at the moment.
Correct. Vermont, I don't know, still talking about it. Maine, the governor there vetoed sports betting legislation, I think twice, Ken. Mm. No, at least once.
Yeah,
the governor did. I owe her flowers, or I owe her like a fruit basket, something similar to the state side of Massachusetts. I need to send them like an arrangement or something, because we owe them. I mean, so much money has come across the border. And that's one of the things about it is you don't even need to go to our physical location. Just use your phone, you know, drive into a New Hampshire liquor store, buy liquor, place sports betting, then go back to Massachusetts, you know?
It's a beautiful thing. It really is. And I know people who live in Massachusetts who do exactly that same thing, and there are lots of them. There's no doubt about that. But until they so-called wake up in Massachusetts, They can wait as long as they want, as far as we're concerned.
No, exactly. I don't, you know, why they haven't passed it is beyond me, but I'm certainly glad they haven't.
No doubt about that. And, you know, it's a going concern. And, you know, you mentioned the amounts. I mean, yeah, I know in October, you know, nearly $100 million wagered on pro and collegiate sports. So what is driving it? What is driving the whole thing, Charlie?
Well, really, it's the NFL. And certainly one of the nice things is that when we had made this presentation to the legislature and the governor, we had said that a lot of this money would just be repatriated. It wouldn't be new betting. It would be illegal betting now placed legally. And like I said, as they talked about law enforcement, a lot of the bookmakers are suffering badly because we went legal. But NFL season in particular is king. Everyone loves to bet football. And October, for example, had 5 weekends in it. So there were another set of games to bet on, which allowed for a much higher handle than would normally be the case. Like $100 million for this market is a significant amount, Ken. So I don't expect to see that again until we have 5 weekends. But then again, I don't know. We're kind of it's not our first year, but it kind of is because last year was so unsettled in terms of sporting events and activity because of COVID that really this is the first year it's almost normal, I'll call it.
And I would imagine the big event for any sports gambling is always the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you would think that, but it's because it's a single event, it doesn't draw the same action as, like, for example, Wild Card Weekend, where there's so many more games to
play. Right, yeah.
Or for us, like, for example, the NCAA tournament is huge.
Sure.
You're allowed to bet on college sports in New Hampshire, just not New Hampshire colleges.
Right.
That was as part of the law that we didn't want to have any question about integrity. So you can bet on like Duke versus Louisville, but you can't bet on UNH if they were to make the tournament.
Right.
But yeah, the tournament is a big draw for us because it's one of those activities that everyone's been doing for so long and then didn't even realize it, like the bracket pools, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about the Super Bowl, I guess for maybe one standalone event, it's probably, you know, there's probably the most action on that in terms of money. And can you imagine, Charlie, and I know there's been one Las Vegas book, a Las Vegas odds maker, that is favoring a Patriots-Tampa Bay Super Bowl matchup. Can you imagine what action you would have on a game like that?
I honestly would hide under my bed because we have so many advanced wagers. Like, as you can imagine, lots of folks bet on the game of the day or the week, right? But lots of folks bet on futures, which is the Patriots will win the AFC, the Buccaneers will win the NFC. And I have so much betting on that right now. That month would be brutal for the New Hampshire Lottery and the finances of the state because we'd have to pay out all those bets. Like last year, the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. We lost $3 million that event. Because of all of the action that had been bet on Brady and the Buccaneers during the season to win the Super Bowl, and they won, and the odds were like 14-1 when they were being placed. So it would be monumental. I can't even think of the amount of wagering would be. You just can't fathom that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, there are times when you do take a hit.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. No, the margin is only about 6% on sports betting, and there are months and weeks. We've never had a negative month, but there are weeks we are negative, and that's life. You know, folks bet they win, we pay. That's how that works.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. That's why people are betting to win some money, and you know, some have been very successful in doing it, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm not a big gambler, but it's fun to look through some of the props, even for like a Tuesday night hockey game. You know, I mean. I bet like first goal scorer from time to time and that sort of thing with the football games, who's going to score the first touchdown. And I mean, there are, you know, so many props for every single event that's out there. You can bet as the game's in progress and it's just an amazing thing. And it is here in New Hampshire to stay.
It's amazing also just the amount of technology and expertise that's behind the scenes on something like that. But so obviously with a partnership with DraftKings, they have, I mean, buildings full of employees who are doing nothing but looking at screens, reviewing games and odds as they occur, and altering them almost in real time, like within a couple of seconds. And so that amount of technology, you can imagine, is very complicated and actually very cool. You know,
it must be something to see. I mean, it really does.
It's like 1,000 employees. I'm not kidding. It's like 1,000 employees who do nothing but all day, every day, look at, I'm not talking like NFL. I'm talking like Russian second-tier soccer or Cyprus tennis, you know.
There's so much out there. I mean, to wager on, you can wager any minute, any hour of any day on something.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's
going on live somewhere, somewhere in the world, anyway.
Yeah, no, and it's all things that were being done before, just being done illegally. Like a lot of offshore sites in Barbados and sort of island countries that have that welcome that kind of business, but you've been able to do it through for years, and now that's why they. We've converted them to us, hopefully, at least in large measure.
And so in this state, we would much rather see education be the beneficiary of all this.
Yeah, and also really, so when we had a problem before with a bookmaker, I mean, what are you going to do? Completely complain to, right? Dear police, the bookmaker didn't pay my legal debt. I mean, no. And so for us, if you have a complaint with what we offer, you call my office, somebody answers the phone, we follow up on the call, it's a very large customer service portion of it. So that, you know, to legitimize it, but also, you know, have a face with it as well. You're not talking to some nameless company in Vegas. You're talking to the Hampshire Lottery in Concord. So that's a little easier.
And I have even contacted on a couple of occasions. I've had questions about DraftKings, and they have been very prompt in their responses as well.
Oh, yeah. No, they're great. And they actually... It's funny, but a lot of the employees from DraftKings actually live in New Hampshire.
I'm not surprised,
Yeah,
I mean, it's based in Boston, right?
Yeah, it is. They're based in Boston, and part of our arrangement with them is they would actually open up an office in New Hampshire, which they did. And it was easy for them because a lot of them were like software developers who were commuting to Boston anyway.
Yeah.
And so they got like 2 hours of their day back.
Wow, it's
in Nashua, their office space.
That is terrific. No, I you know, I honestly wasn't aware of that, but
It was part of the governor's wanted us to sort of develop business as well, so bring a business in here. And so DraftKings was like, sure, we got, like, their chief technology officer lives in Nashua, all of DraftKings. And so it was easy. You know, I don't think he's going to be seen in Boston much anymore. If his commute's now 4 minutes versus an hour and a half, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, that's something I did not realize.
Yeah.
Overall, DraftKings, you know, doing very, very well. But overall, Charlie, lottery numbers are up. In fact, I understand one of the fastest growing lottery states in the country.
I think so. A year ago, we were number one in North America. And I don't know where we are this year. I have to check. But, yeah, so when I started, we transferred $62 million my first year. And last year, we transferred $144 million to the Education Trust Fund. So we more than doubled it in 10 years, which, you know, is important, right? It's a large funding source. If you could think of a community, like, for example, in Manchester, that's about $15 million from Manchester, the city of Manchester. And that's real money if you think about it for education. And it's all voluntary, right? You know, Jefferson said, you know, he loved the lottery because it was a voluntary, it laid it upon only the willing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you don't have to do it, folks.
Exactly.
You don't have to, but a lot of people do. In fact, I think, and I've said, and I'm not joking about this, to me, remember they used to say, Charlie, that baseball is the national pastime?
Yeah.
I think gambling is the national pastime now. I really and truly do on, you know, all facets of it, all facets of gambling.
Yeah. I mean, it's painful for me because I would be our best customer.
Yeah.
if I didn't have this job.
So you can't do it, right?
I can't do it.
You can't bet on DraftKings?
No. No, I have a test account at DraftKings, and I have fake money in there.
Yeah.
But the worst thing about having fake money in there is I'm up like $1,000.
Oh,
boy. And I can't cash it out because it's fake money.
That hurts. Yeah.
It's even more painful. It's like playing Monopoly money.
it really is something. In the lottery, I mean, people have to realize, and some people may not know it, that the profits go to education, and there have been hundreds of millions of dollars received over the years since the lottery came into being in New Hampshire in 1964.
Yeah, we crossed two billion a year and a half ago, and we're hoping to get to 3 billion within the next 6 years. So, yeah, I mean, it's a major funding source, and particularly where a lot of it's now from out of state, that certainly helps our bottom line, and that sort of ensures the we're not going to have an income tax, one of the sales tax, hopefully, because of activities like this, which bring in money voluntarily, you know, from really just a product that folks want to do regardless.
It's a voluntary tax, folks.
Yeah.
Don't complain about it. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to, but many, many people are. And I want to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that's Keno. we find record-breaking numbers there as well.
We do. It's one of the nice things. I was a former employee of the Mass Lottery, and we saw that a bunch of our business in Mass was coming from New Hampshire citizens crossing the border. So that we knew when we launched Keno, we'd be getting back about $20 million in sales for New Hampshire citizens playing in New Hampshire restaurants and taverns. So it's great. We make about $10 million a year profit from Keno. But more importantly, we did a research study through UNH for all of the Keno retailers, and we found that of the retailers, three-quarters saw a bump in their business, up to 30% in terms of additional revenues because they had Keno in their stores. So it was really a business driver as well. Folks who had placed a bet were staying, you know, for an extra dessert or a beer, or were going to a place in New Hampshire versus Massachusetts to play. So it was a great business boon as well.
Oh, no doubt. And I know several establishments just from personal experience that have benefited from that and from my money, too. Keno, though, right now, as it stands, can only be played in establishments that have pouring licenses. But I understand there's a bill in the legislature that might change that.
There is. There's certainly, it's been talked about repeatedly to open it up to stores, because some of the convenience stores that actually sell beer, but not, you know, drink it in the establishment,
right,
want to sell tickets as well. One of the difficulties is that they cash the tickets that Keno sells. Like, for every lottery terminal can cash a Keno ticket because it acts like another ticket, right? But you can't buy it in these places. Some of the stores are a little conflicted about that, as you can imagine. And so there's been conversation about opening it up. It hasn't gone yet, but it's certainly being discussed.
Yeah, and certainly that would add to the Keno totals,
sure.
For sure. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, there's a few cities that haven't passed it, like Concord or Portsmouth haven't passed it. If those were to pass it, certainly would open up. And not the weird thing, but certainly it's unique that only one in five establishments will do it, will offer Keno in their place, which is great, because if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Right.
Like a Chili's or Uno's will never do it. It's not part of their corporate culture, which is fine. But, you know, your local bar, you know, if you sell more Budweiser than Chardonnay, those are our folks.
Yeah, you might see me from time to time at Kimball's Cavern in Pembroke.
Exactly.
And other places in the area. So the Keno, now, obviously, as you pointed out, Keno has not been approved in Concord and Portsmouth and some other locales as well.
Yeah.
Now, if the retail store bill was passed, that would probably mean the same thing, that Keno would not be available in retail stores in those cities. But that,
it does. Exactly what it means.
Yeah.
Which is a problem because, you know, similar to sports betting, retail behavior doesn't care about geography. It just cares about, you know, a customer buying what they want. And so they'll drive past one place to go to the next place that offers what they want. And in many cases, that's the ability to play Keno. And so you'll have the stores will be upset about that. And I don't blame them, that they're not going to be able to offer something somebody down the street does, you know?
Yeah, it is tough. It would be certainly tough. It really will have impact, I think, when retailers would not be allowed to do it in those municipalities where Keno isn't passed. Then it would really hit home, I think, maybe even more than it does now.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, like you saw, for example, we in Portsmouth, when we first launched sports betting, there are two main sports bars, apparently. One of the sports bars was within the buffer zone, essentially the safe zone near the border so that you don't place a bet accidentally in Maine, you know, near the Piscataqua River.
Yeah.
And the other sports bar was outside that zone. And so everybody got up and left the one sports bar and went to the other one so they could bet.
Yeah.
And boy, I got a phone call like, you got to fix that, Charlie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were leaving and they were voting with their feet. They just walked down the street. And so I've seen it very directly that, you know, retail behavior will go where folks get offered what they want.
Charlie, got to take a quick break. I have a couple more questions for you, if that's okay.
Of course, yeah.
All right. Charlie McIntyre is with us, Executive Director of the New Hampshire Lottery, Kale & Company, 1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM, our brand new signal in Manchester, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. Welcome back. It's Kale & Company at 1450 AM, WKXL, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 101.9 in Manchester, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and Weed Family Automotive. You can give them a call, make an appointment right now, 603-225-7988, 124 Store Street in Concord. And Charlie McIntyre is with us from the New Hampshire Lottery, the executive director of the lottery. We still haven't mentioned Powerball, Mega Millions, all those games. I'm sure they are thriving as well.
They sure are. They sure are. You know, we have a couple of jackpots. I don't like to talk about them too much because when I talk about them, they get hit. So I'm very superstitious like that, Ken. But, you know, they're all big numbers. They're all into nine figures. So, yeah, we're looking forward to the sales, and we're looking forward to our next winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had three giant jackpot winners in New Hampshire in the last 5 years. I can't tell you how much that is not statistically normal.
Wow, that is incredible.
Two Powerball, one Mega Millions, one for $160 million for Mega Millions, one for almost $400 million for Powerball, and one for almost $500 million for Powerball. Isn't that crazy?
Hey, given the size of the state, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly, truly is. And you know, scratch tickets always consistent, I'm sure, in terms
sure.
of revenue. And I know a lot of people around the holiday season like to put scratch tickets in envelopes and give them to their friends and relatives. And
absolutely,
and always a fun thing to sit around on a Christmas morning or afternoon, whatever, and you know, scratch those tickets. But they are really a consistent seller and available
absolutely.
Pretty much everywhere.
They are, yeah, no, and certainly for us. Our busiest week is the week before Christmas for scratch ticket sales.
I bet, yeah.
Our second busiest week is the week after Christmas. But let me just give you a word of warning for your listeners about Yankee swaps. If you do a Yankee swap and you swap scratch tickets and you want to cut a deal, make sure it's in writing.
Yeah, boy, have you had issues with that in the past?
But I was in the Mass Lottery, and we had a Yankee swap between family. And it was somebody took, like, you know, I get your socks, you get my tickets kind of thing.
Yeah.
Guy scratched the ticket, and the other guy said, hey, we'll split it, right? And the guy goes, yeah, right. Scratches it. $250,000 winner.
Oh, boy.
And he's like, I ain't sharing anything with you.
Wow. Nothing, huh? Oh,
no. Man. It was like two would-be brothers-in-law. I'm like, oh, for love of God. So, yeah, it was a big lawsuit and all that.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, so if you do a Yankee swap, please get in writing if you're going to trade, you know?
Very true. Yes. Yes. Got to take those precautions ahead of time, folks. Yeah.
It was all friendly until you're talking big money, you know?
Yeah. And you know, as well as I do, better than I do, how much a part of Yankee swaps scratch tickets are.
Oh, sure, big time, big time. Or, like, you'll see the office party where everyone takes in a buck and some guy's sick and he's not in and doesn't win.
Heard a lot of stories like that over the years. Oh, man.
No question.
Yeah.
Or the guy who didn't kick it on a Friday because he never won before and they win.
You hear about that on a regular basis. Another aspect of gaming in New Hampshire is the iLottery, where...
Yes.
You know, people can play all kinds of games online and at the same time buy their Powerball and Mega Millions and Gimme 5 tickets. You can do that 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Yeah, no, it was certainly we launched that a few years ago, and it was really helpful during COVID because folks could still play the lottery and not have to go outside. you know, you can still buy your Fireball ticket.
All right.
And really, the other side of that, the e-instant scratch tickets that are on your phone, was really about creating an entertaining product like Candy Crush that people are playing now for, like, premium plus models.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find is these are actually small dollars being bet per game. Like, you can have entertainment on your phone with, like, $3.
Yeah.
And you can bet very small limits, like a nickel a game.
Yeah.
And play for a while. And it actually, it's really diverting in terms of entertainment value.
Yeah, I mean, I know I do it. I love the quick six. I do.
Once again, I wish I could play. I can't. I can only play the test models again.
It's a lot of fun, Charlie, but I know you can't.
No.
Now, I know the lottery also regulates the charitable gaming in the state. And how is that doing?
It's doing well. It's doing well. The legislature just passed what's known as historic forest racing. That's set to launch in the spring.
Uh-huh.
There'll be machines which replicate a horse race with some very colorful lights and sounds. And they'll be at the charitable gaming locations, hopefully starting in the spring. But yeah, the charitable gaming, they're fun. Have you been to one of the facilities? They're actually quite lovely.
Oh, I have. Yeah. I have. I definitely have. And looking forward to the historic horse racing.
Yeah. Hopefully that launches this spring. We're still in the process now. It's been a work in progress. Like all the things, whenever. They haven't let us be bored, let's put it that way, Ken.
Yeah.
Every year it's another, hey, do this, and oh, hey, how about this, and hey, here you go, how about this thing? Sports betting was the one that really sort of knocked us back for a while. I was all sports betting all the time for about a year, and now short horse racing is where we are in terms of effort going forward. But that'll launch in the spring, and like I said, the money goes to charity. State gets a cut, but it funds, you know, last year was $14 million to charitable organizations across the state. So it's important funding source for a number of these places.
So, Charlie, any noticeable impact on the charitable gaming after sports betting started?
Zero.
None.
Literally zero. What you find is they're just different customers. I mean, they play. But it's not, let me back out a second. So in the state of New Hampshire, there's about 1 million adults, give or take, right?
Right.
And so in the last year, about 600,000 of them bought a Powerball ticket at some point, right? And so in terms of reach, that's about as broad a reach as exists in what we sell. Sports betting is only about, on a given month, 40,000 people, 50,000 people. It's a small well of people who like to do that. And then this is obviously one of their favorite activities. They probably were doing it before, so there's been no conversion or cannibalization. They were betting money before. They were just doing it online through Barbados or their local bookmaker at the bar. And so there's no difference in terms of their budgeting. Say. I know it's unique to think, but most people who gamble have a budget for it. They say, okay, I'll spend this much and no more. And so I think we just converted that illegal sports betting activity to a legal one,
mm-hmm.
so that we've seen no loss anywhere else, essentially.
Right, and much to the benefit of the state of New Hampshire and education here in the Granite State. And Charlie McIntyre, I really appreciate your time today. Some great insight into the lottery. Looking forward to 2022 and more things to come from the lottery, I'm sure. And wish you a very happy holiday season.
And you as well, Ken. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime, right. Charlie.
Take care.
Thanks so much. You too. Bye-bye. Charlie McIntyre, the executive director of the New Hampshire Lottery here on Kale & Company. And we are glad to have you with us as well here at 1450 AM, WKXL 103.9 on the FM dial, 101.9 FM, the new signal in Manchester. We are presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, conveniently located at 124 Store Street in Concord. You can call them right now for an appointment at 225-7988, weedfamilyautomotive.com. WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio, talking about what matters to you. Welcome back. It is Kale and Company. Great to have you with us on WKXL, 1450 on the AM dial, the signal that's been around for 75 years, 103.9 FM, 101.9 on the FM dial now in Manchester. Kale & Company, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive. They are located at 124 Store Street in Concord, and you can check them out online at weedfamilyautomotive.com. Our thanks to Charlie McIntyre, the executive director of the New Hampshire Lottery, for joining us today here on Kale & Company. And I want to remind you that WKXL loves the arts and its community and is sponsoring Piccolo Opera's The Dickens Carolers on Tour, which is coming up on December the 18th, 6 o'clock at the City Auditorium in Concord. Tickets between $15 and $20. Should be a terrific show. Joining us on this portion of Kale & Company is the Associate Athletic Director for Marketing and Communications at the University of New Hampshire, and congratulations, the reigning New Hampshire Sportscaster of the Year, Mike Murphy. Mike, how are you today?
Ken, wow, I should just hang up now. You know, you talk about leaving on an up note. That's a fine introduction. So thank you for the congratulations. It seems, I don't want to say I'm humbled. I almost feel out of place because the award was for 2020, and we're basically in 2022. Thanks to COVID, everything got pushed aside for the awards, but I'm certainly excited about going finally to Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend.
Terrific.
Yeah. I mean, originally it would have been what? I mean, you've been there enough times to know it's usually a late spring, but they keep kicking the can down the road, so we're honoring the 2019 and 2020 winners. So many undeserving people will be in one room at one time. I can't wait to be one of them.
Yeah. Well, Murph, again, congratulations. How many? Is this 8 or 9 for you?
I believe it's number 8, right? A true person with humility wouldn't know that number off, so I have to pretend not to know, but it's 8, yeah.
All right, 8, and certainly richly deserved each and every time. And you know what? I forgot to mention in your bio, a proud alum of WKXL.
It brought me great joy to call the 603-224-1450 number. I think for the diehard listeners who have been there long enough, I've been gone for a while, but I think my heyday, I was the Sultan of Swap as the host of the Swap Shop, it brought me great joy to, back in the day before there was eBay or Craigslist or even the internet, people would call up and say they've got a microwave to sell or 13-inch black and white TV, and I was happy to connect people and help items be sold all throughout the capital region.
You know what, Murph? I think we should bring it back, and once in a while have you come in as a host, a special guest host for a swap shop type thing.
I'd be honored. I would give up this trip to North Carolina to come in and host the swap shop at least one more time, because it was a real thing. It'd be about, you think about Gardner Hill, yep, and the Party Line or Dick Osborne and Coffee Chat, but when Coffee Chat would end and the 9 o'clock news would start, the phones would be ringing because they knew at 9:05 for those 25 minutes on a weekday, the swap shop was coming. And it was a pretty big deal. And the hardest part, Ken, was having to hit the dump button if somebody had called the day before. Because the number one rule was you can only call every other day.
Every other day was the rule, huh? Well, we'll have to go over the ground rules again, if we bring it back. I would love to. I think there's a need for it. I know there was a station on the seacoast that did it for many years, was very successful doing it, and people miss it. I think people miss it. I really do.
I'm nostalgic. Yeah, I'm nostalgic about a lot of things. WKXL, Ken, I'm really thrilled that you're there because it holds a special place in my heart. The only reason I live in New Hampshire is because that radio station was the first job I had. But remembering what a snow day used to be like, one will really appreciate your power when people had to listen in Concord and Bow every 10 minutes or so for the snow delays and cancellations. And if you missed, if you put it on a second too late, you had to wait 10 more minutes to find out whether you had school. Nowadays, they text you, they call you, they almost knock on your door at 5 in the morning to tell you there's no school.
That's very true, Matt. But at any rate, that's how I used to find out about it was, on the radio, and I lived in the Boston area, and that, the long litany of postponements, delays, what have you. That's pretty much been done away with on radio these days.
Yeah, you held the key to the city back then, Ken. And if it was a particularly snowy overnight, our friend Chris Pope, who was in charge of the Concord Fire Department in those days, he'd make sure you could get to work. You know, if you couldn't get out of the driveway, he'd say, "I'll send a truck," because you had to be there to light the lamp at 5 a.m. when WKXL signed on with the national anthem, and yep, boom, let's go. I mean, that's how much people relied on local news. And I'm sure the audience is thrilled with us going back to the mid-90s.
Oh, they love nostalgia. In fact, we went even back further than that. We had Jim Rivers on not too long ago, and he said similar things about being driven on snow days to the station by either police or fire personnel in Concord. So
right. Jim was a legend, and if he had never left, that job would never have opened up for me to even get there. I was lucky to be around the tail end of WKXL's real glory days, which was with Jim Rivers and Don Dunkley and Dick and Jim Janot as sports director, Gardner Hill, all those names from the past.
Yeah.
Pat Shalhoub, Don Shapiro. I don't leave anybody out because they're all friends and neighbors with the people who continue to do business with the radio station to this day.
Yep, absolutely. Mike Murphy is with us, and Murph, hang on just a second. We're going to take a quick break and be right back and talk about a legend who is departing the University of New Hampshire. So stay with us here on Kale and Company at 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in the Concord area, 101.9, the new signal in Manchester. Kale and Company presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. Welcome back. It is Kale and Company, and we are presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. You can make an appointment right now. Bobby and Charlie standing by, 603-225-7988, weedfamilyautomotive.com. Mike Murphy is with us. You know him now as the Associate Athletic Director for Marketing and Communications at UNH. You see him on TV all the time doing games or hear him on the radio. Eight-time New Hampshire Sportscaster of the Year. But, Murph, in the moments we have left here on Kale and Company today, want to talk about a legend at the University of New Hampshire, and that is, of course, football head coach Sean McDonald for the last 23 years, the head coach. He's been there longer than that. But tell us about the decision that Coach Mack made in departing.
Had to be the hardest decision of his life, I would think, Ken. I can only speak from somebody who's known him for just about his entire career here, closer over the last 12 years since I've worked at UNH. But it was such a tough year for the team. You know, for Coach Mack, who had battled back from health issues to just get back in time for COVID to shut down his program in March of 2020. Then there's only one game played in that abbreviated spring season. And then he comes back and has the worst year that UNH has had since the mid-60s. So it's a dark Hollywood script to lose the last eight games. So I know there was such pressure on him because he's led this program so long. Coach, you have to come back. Coach, you can't go out this way. We lost to Maine. You know you don't want to go out that way. And if Sean McDonald were a me person instead of a we person, he might have listened to those voices and said, "You're right, this is not how I want to go out." But he is not an I am first. He's always about the program, always about the student-athletes. And so he made the decision on his own, the very difficult one, that at 66 years old, it's time to hand the keys over to somebody else for the betterment of the program, to move forward. And for him to do that, it shocks everybody because we've never known anything but Sean McDonald, except for those who are old enough to remember the Hall of Fame coach who gave the keys to Sean McDonald, when I'm sure it was a very difficult decision, and that's Bill Bowes. So it's a strange time, sad in the sense that Coach Mack is no longer the head coach, but exciting in the sense that the new era begins with Rick Santos, who was a superstar as a student-athlete here, has been learning under the auspices of Coach Mack since coming back in March of 2019, and had kind of a trial by fire, Ken, when he was the interim head coach in that 2019 season and led the Wildcats to a winning record, came about a yard or an instant replay short of a playoff berth, but that doesn't matter. The fact is, didn't matter. Didn't get there. They have to get better. Coach Santos is the natural successor in this chain Bill Bowes, who started in 1972, Coach Mack, who started in 1999, and now the Coach Santos era begins in 2022.
Do you have a favorite Coach Mack story, Murph, that comes to mind?
Oh, my goodness.
I know there are many. I know there are many, but is there something that stands out?
I've heard so many Coach Mack stories that some of them I just didn't witness myself, but I've heard about, and that's why it's really tough for me to go along. But there was one recently that he told me directly, so I feel like I was there, as opposed to hearing about them. And you know, his son graduated from UNH, Tommy McDonald, who was a basketball player here, went on to coach football. You know, he was on Ohio State staff with Ryan Day even last year. So going back a few years, graduation at UNH from the business school, Coach Max, proud as can be, has a party in his backyard. Everything's going great. And Mack, during the ceremony, meets a couple of guys. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tommy brings a couple of guys home. Hey, this is so-and-so and so-and-so. They don't have their families here. Do you mind if they join our family party? Coach, of course. You're in. Your family. Hang out. And they're all having a good time. And then Tommy left to go to another party. So Coach Mack still has these people he's never met before there. And one goes, hey, is it okay if I shoot off some fireworks? And Coach is like, sure, why not, right? I mean, we could tell the story now because it's a few, probably 4 or 5 years old. So during the celebration, these fireworks are going off. Everybody's happy. Well, the fireworks kind of lean and shoot into the bushes of the house next door.
Oh, boy.
And the house and the bush catches on fire, right? So all of a sudden, Coach Mack's looking over, happy as can be, and he sees a fire bursting, has to run, grab water, throw things out as the fire department shows up. And as it turns out, they probably weren't even that surprised. You know, Coach Mack would somehow find his way into some interesting situations, and he couldn't even say the name of the kid who had the fireworks, you know. But everything from, like Ken, where Coach Mack lived, he bought the house from Jim Urquhart, who was a legend here, who passed away in the 90s. And the Student Athlete of the Year Award is named after Jim Urquhart. So this house is right next to, like, fraternities, sororities. The story goes from Coach Mack's wife that when the boys were little, Coach would yell across the street to some of the women at the sorority house, hey, who's available to watch the boys? I got to leave for an hour. And somebody would come over and babysit the kids. You know, when he'd be shoveling snow off his roof in shorts and the ladder fell, he'd be yelling across the passersby, help. That's just who he is. Where on a game day, he'd be out sweeping, you know, leaves off the driveway 3 hours before a football kickoff. You can't make up the stories of Coach McDonald.
Well, I know. He is a legend, always will be, and you know, I'm sure he'll be around, but he will certainly be missed. There's no doubt about that.
So, yeah, and I think he's tried to make me feel better and others by saying he'll be around. Like, already since his announcement of his retirement, basketball games, he's there. He's bebopping from section to section. I assume he's already been offered 10 other jobs because he's retired as the head coach, but he's such an active person in this community. You know, he could get paid just for being Sean McDonald if he so chooses.
All right, absolutely. And as you mentioned in the last moment we have here, Murph, and we'll have more time in a subsequent Kale and Company to talk about some things, but, you know, quite a coaching tree that he has. I mean, Chip Kelly, Ryan Day, Joe Conlon, Tony Trisciani, there are just so many out there that have been impacted by Coach Mack.
He'll never take credit for any of them either. He goes back and credits Bill Bowes for starting this, and he and Phil Estes and those who came during that time frame were just extending the branch of Coach Bowes. But yes, you talk to any of those men you just mentioned, and they're the first to point out what Sean McDonald has meant to their career. And there's countless others who have been head coaches or assistant coaches or about to become head coaches. And the high school level, you know, kids who came to play for him, who probably didn't even appreciate at the time what his mentorship meant, have turned around and become great mentors for young men in their careers.
Murph, well said, as always, and we will have you back in the not-too-distant future, but thanks for joining us today and reminiscing about Coach Mack.
Swap Shop, Sean McDonald, all of the above. Always a pleasure.
All of the above. Thanks, Murph. Take care. Bye-bye. And that'll do it for this edition of Kale & Company. Great to have you along with us. We're presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, conveniently located at 124 Store Street in Concord.